CliffCentral.com.
Hey, look who's here. Oh my gosh. Hey, guys.
Sipping tea. Mabali Moloi, that's
me. Tumi Meraki, the crazy one, that's me.
Welcome to it. Welcome to another session. It's always good to hang out with you. We love it.
Yes.
We love it when you get in touch with us as well. Can I just tell
yes,
you?
Please do. Today, I really need you to get in touch with. Like, you don't understand how much I need you to get in touch with us. I'm not even playing games here. Okay. Get in touch with us. Okay, Mabali, tell them how and
so
where.
So, our WhatsApp line is 079-748-2090. But I mean, you can also get a hold of us through, you know, all the other channels that we've got set up for you. Twitter, we're at cliffcentral.com. You can get a hold of Tumi Meraki, Mabali Moloi. That's at Tumi Meraki, at Mabali Moloi on Twitter. We love hearing from you. It's great. It's fun. Okay. So, Tumi, you're looking all virginal and saintly and innocent today.
Hey!
In a white dress. You look fabulous.
Yes. I call this my ironic look.
Okay. So, yes. You picked George Michael's Faith.
Yes.
Why?
I thought, let's have a gay man singing about faith. Mm. Mm. Faith, a word that is usually associated with the church and the like,
okay.
You know,
yeah.
The religious and the like. You know, those ones who don't welcome the likes of the late George Michael mm-hmm. and his kind, as they are called.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
so I thought, let's ironically just, as I look all virginal and holy, as they would say.
Yeah.
Because isn't it they are the ones who have trademarked white and
as the
purity.
Saintly, as a saintly look.
As a saintly look.
Yeah. Look, you must of course be, you know, touching on the, well, one of the biggest stories from this week that have been trending.
Yes.
You will remember that on Sunday, started trending was Grace Bible Church after one Somizi Mhlongo who, you know what, I've met a lot of people and most of them seem to love Somizi, right?
Yes.
Nothing bad to say about the guy. You know, he's entertaining, mm-hmm. he's funny, mm-hmm. he's intelligent, mm-hmm. he's talented, he's mm-hmm. all these great things.
Mm. He's off the world.
So Somizi then posted a video onto his Instagram after attending the church service at Grace Bible Church, where, you know, he criticized part of the sermon from that day, which seemed to, well, not seemed to, it did, in fact. It criticized homosexuality.
Among other sins.
Among.
Apparently.
Okay, all right.
And, yeah, sorry, let me let you finish. Oh, Lord. I'm just boiling. You're y'all got to give me a break. Understand to me today, okay?
You are raring to go.
I'm a little bit, yes, continue when I'm about. I will hold myself. Let me arrest myself for a minute.
Okay, all right, that's fine. So, the big story was that Somizi decided to get up and leave the service because I suppose he did not take kindly to the sermon that was being preached on that day, which was that the bishop who was preaching the sermon likened homosexuality to, well, I don't know if he likened it to animals, because he said that if you look at the animal kingdom,
even they don't do it.
You won't find two male dogs, two male cats, or two female zebras. Although if you ask some zoologists and biologists, they'll tell you where there is homosexual behavior in the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
They will tell you where they have proven it and have observed it and have seen it.
Some that even have both body parts.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, basically the issue here is the criticism by the church of homosexuality.
Mm.
Still in 2017 is what some people are saying here.
Mm.
But before I let Tumi out of... out of the stable. Let me just remind you, and I'm sure you've heard this already because the video did go viral and it has been trending for the last couple of days. But let's remind ourselves again exactly of what exactly it is that Somizi took issue with.
Oh Lord, within Wusa Somizi, I've just walked out, stomped out of church, because some guest pastor from somewhere in Africa, just decided to take a turn and speak about homosexuality and how sinful and disgusting and how it's not even animals practice that and blah 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 blah, and the church is like cheering and blah blah. I'm not gonna sit there and listen to somebody offending me. This is who I am. I am a gay man. Get it straight into your skull. My soul is all right with my God. Let me deal with my God and my soul. Don't tell me. It's like somebody offending black people in church, and then you scream and shout. And I'm actually disappointed at all the gay men and women that sat there and listened to him offending us and didn't do anything about it. I walked out and visibly saw. And I'm proud, and I'm going to remain gay for the rest of my life. Let God deal with me. Oh, Lord.
All right. Let God deal with him. Ha! Damn it!
So, the floodwaters, as it were, or the floodgates were then opened because very quickly people started arguing. As we often do on Twitter, is, you know, people started arguing on all sorts of talking points. So there were people who were, you know, saying, well, if that's what it says in the Bible, then what are you complaining about, right? There were people who were also saying, but Somizi, you know, was it really necessary for you to storm out of the church, as it were? I still have an issue with that word storm.
Yes.
I'm imagining where he got up and he left, not
so.
Causing a scene.
Yes.
Just got into his car and then, you know, recorded this video and posted it on Instagram.
Yes.
Well, how? But anyway, there were people also criticizing that, saying, yeah, but I mean, was it really necessary for you to then, you know, storm out and to make it into a whole big thing? And then, of course, on the other side of the argument, you have people saying, well, the exact issue is exactly the Bible, which, you know, is full of all kinds of prejudices. That is the issue to begin with. You know, there were people attacking religion. There were people saying, how are we still, you know, talking about, or how are we still trying to defend homosexuality in 2017?
It's a prehistoric, archaic conversation and debate, which I refuse to engage in. You know, Mabale, there was a time I even had to excuse myself off a family WhatsApp page after this topic had come up around homosexuality, and again people doing this whole likening of animals. And like, let's deal with this thing as it is. Let me not even, first of all, I don't claim to be a philosopher. I don't claim to have any kind of leadership role in the moral compass of the world. Ne?
None of us should claim it. Not even bishops.
No, but maybe the church, because it isn't, it claims that the, let's look at it this way. They say the church is where you go to just get yourself back on track. They say that the Bible is the user manual of your life. Okay? And I believe this on a spiritual level. I am with this. Now, another thing I remember is being told that no one should add to the word and no one should subtract from the word. Now, when a priest comes in and comes and tells, you can quote the Bible, sure, quote the Bible. The Bible also says an eye for an eye. I'm just double checking this thing. It does. I've heard it correct.
Yes.
The very thing we have been told is the law right now doesn't allow such. If you have raped my daughter, I'm not going to go next door and rape your daughter.
No.
Am I correct?
Yeah,
no. Okay. So we're still picking and choosing what we take from the Bible and what we leave. I will leave it right there.
Okay.
And then the very same Bible says, I will repeat, that you cannot add to the word and you must not subtract from the word. Now, many people who have come to the defense of said church have said that Bible will not be edited to suit you. Wonderful. Show me the verse that speaks about the animal and homosexuality, please.
In as much as them saying the Bible will not be edited to suit you, aren't these the very same people who are opting to be very choosy about the very sins that they commit themselves?
Yes.
Ne?
Because, wait, why not? You see, this is what I like about you. Because isn't it, now we are all about the Bible. Because now nobody is addressing the fact that, number one, this was a priest from somewhere up there, Africa. So I'm assuming he was already coming from a highly homophobic country.
I think he's from Ghana.
It's my assumption already.
If I remember correctly. Okay,
right.
That's fine.
So it's right there.
Yeah,
I think
it's Ghana.
Right. Then he embellished. He didn't go and embellish about how disgusting thievery is, how even animals don't fornicate.
Adultery.
Adultery.
Okay, side chicks, fuck boys, all of these things.
He didn't embellish on those
all
ones.
All of these things that we all engage in.
He only embellished on homosexuality. No one who was even in that church is denying the embellishment.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Ne?
Mm.
But we want to defend the Bible.
Mm.
No, my friends. I hear what the Bible is saying, okay? But most of us are doing most of what the Bible is saying you mustn't do.
Mm. So then who are we then to turn around? Because the thing that I am getting from what this incident has sparked in the debate is that we as people are very, very quick to turn around and say, yeah, but my sin is not as bad as yours.
No sin is bigger than another sin, my friend.
My sin is not as bad as yours. So because Mabali takes an issue with homosexuality, she will feel her homosexuality is a worse sin than the fact that on a Saturday night when her husband is not there, Oya next door, her Thabo, to do things to Thabo that she probably does not do to her husband because Mabali, you know, has, you know, she likes side things.
What I am trying to understand here is how... I don't understand. How are we going to ignore the fact that people will continue to hide behind religion to justify hate? You cannot be fear-mongering in a church. You cannot be hate-mongering in a church. I have a problem with that. And the minute you come in as a priest and you go beyond reading what the Bible has said and you take it even further. I mean, this is the same Bible which if you read in your first five books of the Bible, because some of us know our Bibles. We know Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, which comes before.
If you look in those books,
okay. Particularly if you want to go and play inside Numbers. In fact, even Leviticus touches on this. You know, it will mention how women are ritually unclean when they are on their period. I want us to discuss this archaic book if we talk about where it's coming from. Spirituality does not expire. But let's also look at the context sometimes of some of these things. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, because you know that people have a funny attitude towards women on their period. Like we have to hide it. It's this disgusting thing that we must hide. And then we have a Bible that purports and supports this thing. You understand?
Well, that's probably all. Not that that's probably.
But you hear a priest preaching that and talking about how disgusting we are when we bleed.
You know,
but he's very quick to jump to how disgusting homosexuality is.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's a threat. And I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why, guys. Yes, you will not edit the Bible to suit people's lifestyles. But when you are preaching and you're a church that is set up in a society, in a community, you look at that community around you. You look at those issues around that community and you watch. What are you going to say that is going to perpetuate the very thing that is undoing that society and homophobia, violent crimes against gay people, ill treatment of gay people, discrimination against those people is then supported by people who come into a church because people are cheering while you were saying this. Did you hear this? Eh? Did you hear Somizi mention how people were whooping and cheering at these words when the priest said them? I didn't hear anyone celebrating that God doesn't want thieves. I did not. Unless there were all politicians in there. I did not hear that anyone cheered at that. Or that fornication is wrong. Because I'm sure there were only 10 virgins in there and they were virgins because they are children. Okay? Please. It pisses me off when people then want to come and jump and say they're going to defend their church and they're going to jump and defend their Bible. Eh? Because at the end of the day, when Somizi was listening to this sermon, it wasn't Jesus delivering it. It was a man of flesh and blood with his own sins. We don't know who or what he ate that day before he entered that church. So for us to then go and go, hey, but you cannot edit the Bible to suit other people. What? No, my friend. There are ways of approaching things. And you cannot do that. You know, racism, for example, with apartheid and how we were told that black people are the children of Noah who laughed at him because when the sun saw him naked and they laughed at him, they were cursed. And those cursed people are the black people. That is the damn Bible you are defending, man.
Is that what?
That very Bible was the one that was used to justify that statement.
Is that what and it actually it says?
Yeah, I will find it for you.
Okay, I'm not fighting you.
No, Maburu Hanar Oppressor. That is what they said. Kore because Rebanju. Rebanabao. You understand? So what I'm saying is it's an interpretation. I can run away right now and go very much like those people who made it part of their religion to say that blacks are a curse.
But
isn't it they were able to say I'm quoting this from the Bible? But it is an interpretation. For a man to stand up and talk about whether something is unnatural and whether animals are doing it or not without checking with zoologists.
You see, this is this for me further supports my belief of this being more than anything about power play, right? Because now, as far as I believe, because I get it, everybody believes their own thing. As far as I believe, religion is a man-made construct,
yes.
Right. So, in my mind, when you start, you know, reading different passages in the Bible about how, you know, a woman is supposed to be subservient to the man, and you read things about what you just told me now, Hore, black people are meant to be the children.
Yes, we are Noah's descendants. No, I'm not Noah's descendants. I'm going to find his name, this Noah's son. We're Noah's son laughed at Noah when Noah was drunk. And then he was cursed, apparently, because Noah was drunk and naked or something.
Okay,
this boy laughed at him.
Okay.
And then he was cursed from that point.
Okay, so
and then they were saying, black people, we are descended from that dude. So we are black because that's the case.
So, I mean, this sounds to me like it works to somebody's favor.
Yes, you can use the Bible to push propaganda.
It works to somebody else's favor or benefit to write things and say, oh, women are supposed to be A,
yes,
B, C, D,
yes,
while men can
yes,
be X, Y, Z.
Exactly.
Black people are supposed
exactly.
to be 1, 2, 3.
Yes. I wish that pastor had been as emphatic and as disgusted and grossed out by all the other sinners. And I'll tell you why. Because 1 John 3 verse 15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. I will repeat it for you to check where now you holier than thou BFF of Jesus. 1 John 3 verse 15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You have preached hate, my brother. Perhaps that day the biggest sinner was you.
I want to talk about the hypocrisy of it all. I want to talk about this problem that we have as human beings, where we turn around and we look at each other and, you know, based on your moral high ground or your moral standing, you manage to convince yourself, Hore, no, mara di sinza tumidi weso hore kataka. Therefore, I am well within my rights to judge her, to call her names, to consider her less than me. This is a big issue for me. This is a big problem.
Ubizi wena unso fanda batubao tzibang hore. They hurt young girls, but oh, you are so holy because you only sleep with your wife. Wait, Mabala, I even heard a rumor, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the guy who owns Blesser.com actually runs a church. He's a priest.
As far as I know, he is a leader in his church.
A leader in the church,
yeah.
But he runs the very app that promotes fornication, adultery, envy, because isn't it then you are envious of things that you can't afford and now you're going to get them via a shortcut.
Yeah.
It also encourages debauchery.
Yes, of course. Adultery. Yeah.
So all of these things that fall under all those heinous things are supported by a leader of the church. The church whose Bible the people are defending. Not realizing that the thing under attack is not the Bible, because I'm sure Somizi read the Bible before he went into a church.
Because so then, a church. So then, what is the thing under attack?
The thing I'm pissed off about is what the priest said. Because when I heard that, oh, he's upset that the priest was preaching against homosexuality, I was like, yeah, but we all know the Bible talks about this. That is a fact. I know many gay people who go to church, and I've never had any of them say, oh my God, I walked out because the priest said this. Because we all know, we will read about it, that a man mustn't lie with another man. You understand? We've read it sharp. Where I have a problem is that he then embellished. For me, the problem is the embellishment. If you are saying no, but you are saying talking about all the sins, did he call all of them disgusting? Did he say all of them are not practiced by animals? Thereby drawing a comparison between gay people and animals. That is my problem. See, for me, it's the little things. Someone can go, but to me, why are you nitpicking? I'm going to tell you why. It's the little things that feed the big things. Today, we have a young mind that's sitting in that church hearing this thing that upsets God so much. Then he must walk out with that little prejudice, go into a society that's already killing people, just because they have a problem with who they sleep with. Can we just take this down to its very simple, essential, the biggest thing that I know bothers you about gay people, if it bothers you the most, is that they are sleeping with someone of the same gender. That's what bothers you. Something they are not performing in front of you. Something you're not invited to, and something that has nothing to do with you because they didn't say they want you.
I Yeah,
this is what I'm trying to understand.
This is a very good point that you make, and this is something that I agree with 100%. Sure, have your beliefs. That's good for you. Me personally, I don't care about your beliefs. Why? Because they don't affect me directly. They don't harm me in any way.
Mm.
They don't interfere with me going about my business and getting on with my life and doing my own thing. So when you, with your holier than thou, and with your judgment and with your, you know, all these big words that are not coming to me right now, want to turn around and then want to call me out for doing things that you don't agree with, that is where I have a problem. Because I personally do not take issue with whatever is happening under your roof.
Yes.
It's none of my business.
It's none of my business. Me's gonna
so
be my
then why do you think that you are well within your rights to tell me where I'm going wrong, especially if it has nothing to do with you?
Thank you. Kind of girl, I'll bet you the guy who was cheering was sitting next to his side chick with the wife sitting on the other side, bothering with the children of Sunday school while you are busy there, zippering. You see, well, let me tell you why things around church upset me. I don't like controversies around church. Let's have controversies everywhere except inside the damn church. And I'm going to tell you why. I still feel like it's a place that needs to be protected. The last time I had to speak about a church was when that silly priest was going on and on a racial tangent that I don't want to go back to, because then I'll get fired up again. My problem is, church is supposed to be a sanctuary. It is a place of spiritual peace. That's what it's supposed to be. It is a place where we are to be reminded of the love of God. It is a place where you go for people who are going to gather around you and support, because we are there in the believing in the same God, believing in the same principles that govern the same God that we pray to, whether it be Christianity, whether it be Islam, etc. So if I'm going in there, and I'm going in there for comfort, and let's say now you are listing to me all these sins that I should run away from. Be they cardinal, be they, kind of, what's the other one? There's cardinal sins, and then there's the other one. What's the other one?
I don't know.
You do know.
No, I actually.
Why are you fighting it?
I don't. No, I haven't been to church.
Anyway.
I have not been to church.
Anyway, when we go in there and we're reminded these things, it's for us to have our own reflection. And as Somizi said, his soul is fine with his God. Because we sit there to reflect by ourselves on what we do, what lifestyle choices we've made. And you know, the priest who married me, his name is Father Mike Deeb. Father Mike Deeb, by the way, let me tell you how deep I roll. Father Mike Deeb, as we speak right now, is at the Vatican. Just so you know, I'm not making shit up.
Okay, no, he's like in with the top.
He's in there. He's a proper, like, Jesuit Catholic man, okay? So if you want to talk about a man who has been dunked and washed and just has religion pouring out of his pores, Christianity. And do you know what he said to me? Because he once asked me, because I said to him, I have a problem with your church. I have a problem with converting to Catholicism because I have a problem with it, with certain things about the Catholic Church. And he was like, let's talk about these things. And then we touched on sin. And he asked me what I think sin is. And do you know what the simple explanation of sin he gave me was? He said, any act that doesn't come from a place of love is a sin. An act that is out to hurt, it's a sin. Now, I wasn't hearing this from some wet behind the ears, a fly by night, I started a church in a tent kind of guy. This is someone who has gone and studied the theology, you understand?
This is not the guy who will make you drink petrol.
Yeah, or
make you lie on the grass so you can walk on top of you.
Oh, no, that's put his foot over your vagina and say it's breathing.
Not that guy.
So, that's how I understand sin.
Yeah.
You understand?
If it's out to hurt the next person.
If it doesn't come from love. Yes, if it's not an act of love. That's how he was like, that's sin. If you go out of church because, oh man, I must go to church. They don't see me at church. He was like, wouldn't you then maybe call that a sin? So little things like that, like you need to sometimes think for yourself. The point he was making was the Bible won't always think for you. The Bible is there to guide you. Everybody knows, even when you have a user manual and you're troubleshooting, sometimes you will find that you have to use your own logic. You've got your troubleshooting guide there. But your troubleshooting guide is not seeing what's going wrong in the moment with you. It's there to guide you. And I just feel like don't make church a turnoff for some of us. I'm going to be scared to send my child to church if that's the bullshit he's going to have to hear all the time. My husband and I once walked out of a church because the priest was basically talking badly about other churches. And we left with my son because our family, again, besides that, there are so many other cultures and colors in the people we associate with. There are also many other religions. And we thought it was very dangerous for our six-year-old to have to hear this. Because generally, when we go to church and the priest says stuff, our son, without fail, will ask a question about something he heard. And we were like, there is no way we're going to take this child to a church where suddenly he is now going to be turning to his Jewish friends and saying, yeah, even you guys anyway, you killed Jesus and you guys are not going to heaven because you don't believe in the New Testament. You understand what I'm saying? So I feel like churches need to be more responsible now, especially if you're in an established church like a Grace Bible Church. You have such a huge responsibility because today anyone can grab a Bible. Anyone can grab a Bible, set up tent, or even just I can open up my living room right now and say I've started a church. And because you are kicking people out with the BS that you preach, those churches are going to fill up. And people will be even more lost than they were before. And then you're going to die and die saying, hey, look at how I saved souls. And then you're going to get there and God's going to be like, do you see how many children you lost me? Think about it.
You know, I've just thought of a counter argument to, you know, because a lot of people were criticizing the fact that Somizi walked out. They were like, yeah, but I mean,
stay for what?
No, but this is the thing, is people were saying, but guys, I, you know, just because I hear something that I don't like in church, does it mean Hura must get up and leave every time? But guys, if you're sitting at home and you're watching SABC3 and something comes on that you don't like,
you
change the channel. If you're driving in your car and a song comes on the radio station that you happen to be listening to and it's a song that irritates you that you don't like, you switch to the next.
It is the equivalent of the block button.
You switch to the next. So then why, what is the problem here with Somizi having gotten up to leave?
Yeah.
He can get up and leave.
Yes. Also, that guy must also by himself stay and wonder, what did I say that got this guy to leave? Because if you've gotten the right response and you've done really what God called you to do, that person should be down on their knees crying, saying, oh, I repent. Oh, I need to change. When you have a person walking out, come now. Come now. Yeah? You know, these people and they're, oh, the Bible says, okay, the Bible says. Do you know that even the Bible, every time I've read it, you know when you're reading there in Malachi? Me, I know the Bible. Don't ask me.
No, I'm going to ask
when
you.
When you're reading there
no,
in Malachi.
No, I'm going to ask you because I don't know the Bible.
It will tell you about how when you are, you know, when you're giving a donation, when you're giving, collection.
Collection, yeah.
Tithes, that you will get good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. Sure. You understand? But so we are all planting this seed. But the way we are planting this seed is because also the Bible has told us that the church, that money that we are giving the church is going to help the widows and the orphans. Widows and orphans, okay. Not that house in Sentin.
Yeah.
Not that by 4x4.
No.
Not that Marco Adamo suit.
Yeah, not that private plane if you are Pasta Dollar. Do you know Pasta
Creflo?
Creflo Dollar in the US.
These are my people.
Yeah.
Me, you must understand, there's nothing I love more than my God and Christianity. And the way my grandmother raised me to love people, to love God, to love church, and the way I was raised, that's a place of love. But I worry that the church is also becoming a clown place now. I worry that we need to get to a point where Jesus must come and be pissed off inside the church like he was when they had turned the church into a marketplace. You understand? People, this thing really upsets me.
I'm sorry that it upsets you, but I'm glad that you got it off your chest. Yes. Because it's important to have these cathartic moments. So we're going to take a break. During the break, we're going to pass the collection plate around. Please be generous with your offerings. And then we'll be back with you right after this. Thank you, Miss Winehouse. Thank you very much for doing your thing there, Amy Winehouse. Ramahopola Shem.
Remember her. Lena, don't judge her. She had a drinking problem.
Well, drugs, drinking. She had a lot of problems.
But I don't judge because it has problems.
Yeah,
someone would be judging next thing we find out it's an illness, isn't it? Do we not know that alcoholism is an illness? But then we want to run and judge. So I want to close that thing that we ended on.
Okay.
Can I just close it calmly? I want to close it calmly.
Okay.
With Matthew 7, verse 1 to 3, mm-hmm. judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?
Amen. I feel like I'm supposed to say that.
Yeah, but you must, isn't it? Isn't it? We're in church.
Yeah.
This is the church of truth.
No, you took us to church.
Don't even.
You took us to church. Brent Lindekew from The Good Stuff Outside was just saying, because they're still sitting outside the studio, and he was saying that, yo, he wishes that we could have brought him into that conversation, because he said it was very heated. Thank you for acknowledging and appreciating us, Brent. Love
fire
you always.
Morlo. Yeah. Just call us Kunga. We're on fire.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I didn't say
no.
Isn't it? Careful?
No, that was good. That was clever. I like that. You're a comedian, Mosh. You know how to handle these things.
Yes. But you know, this debate, this conversation, as it were, Mabale, calls to question yet another thing that I've always wondered about. Church. Church in the African sense, you know.
You're not talking about people of the soil.
No, I'm talking about people of the soil.
Okay.
I'm talking about us Africans. And if you're of a much lighter hue and you consider yourself African, please just listen to the context and still decide if you want to consider yourself the person I'm talking about. These things, these churches, this concept, this Christianity, it arrived when?
Well, I mean, if you want,
on the continent,
it arrived with the, not with the settlers. I don't think it was with the settlers.
Was it pre the settlers?
Well, gosh, you see now our history is being tested here, and we are failing dismally.
Are we failing dismally?
It arrived with the missionaries.
It arrived with
the missionaries, right?
Now,
so for example, the English would send their people down here to come in and to. Okay. To then, set up these constructs.
In order to can civilize us.
And in their sense, to re-educate what they considered what Africans were doing wrong at the time. Mm. So that they could,
correct us.
So that they could practice what they believed in. So it arrived with the missionaries.
Mm. And is it not an interesting coincidence that that position is the standard position?
What do you mean?
Missionary position.
Oh!
That's the standard position.
Took me a while.
Yeah, I could
no,
see.
You needed to connect the dots for me there.
Already, if you do something else, it might be also be considered
a
sin.
No, that's a good point you make. That's a good link you make there.
So it came with these people. Where do you find the most churches? If you're walking around randomly in any town in South Africa, where do you find the most churches? Would you say in suburbia or peri-urban?
What's peri-urban?
Rural.
Is that what it's called? Peri-urban. English major. Definitely more in townships, homelands.
But you're saying it came with the people who we mostly find living in suburbia.
Right.
Why?
Why do we find more churches?
Why are there more? Okay, maybe I should stop trying to sugarcoat. Why are black people the ones who are so obsessed with the church, and we have churches on every... I think the number of churches we have is very closely competing with the number of Shebeens we have.
Okay, which wins?
No, Shebeen wins. Hands down, it doesn't matter.
Okay, all right. No, It will always win. This is a good question to ask, one for which I'm not sure that I have an answer. I know there are a number of answers that have been proposed. Earlier this year, when people were talking about these outrageous priests who make their congregations do weird things, eat snakes, eat grass, drink petrol, spray doom in their face. Mm. You know, the question was, why would people allow themselves to have that done to them? And one of the proposed answers was that when people are that desperate, they will push the limits of what they logically know to be okay or not okay, which is one of the proposed explanations as to why that happens. So when people are that desperate because of their surrounding circumstances and they clutching at straws, so to speak, and trying to hold on to something, this is when they turn to other vices, alcohol, so you become an alcoholic, drugs, you become a drug addict, religion. But I don't know that that is, I don't know that that is the answer. But they, or maybe church is good business, is it not? It's good business. You set up a church, you have people tithing. It's good business for the most part.
But it's supposed to feed the community. Let's give the missionaries the benefit of the doubt and not say that that was the beginning of the colonization of black minds, and just say they were trying to build society similar to theirs, and they felt like from their own ignorance, being on the dark continent, we needed to move forward in our civilization. And a civilized society needed to have this institution that, like you said, it is our moral compass. It is also the place of sanctuary that if somebody has nowhere else to turn to, no family, no hope, church is where they go.
I mean, I would disagree with when you say in their ignorance. To me, it was more a suffering from a superiority complex, where you move into somebody's house and you say, I don't like where your chair is.
Yeah.
Move it to that corner because, quite frankly, that's better for you.
Yeah.
No, that's just you suffering from a superiority complex.
Because let me just double check. Before they came, do we have a history of prisons in African culture? Because I've read and read. I don't see anything about us ever having needing police.
I haven't read as much as prisons. You have. How then do
No, I remember us dealing with things in a lokhotla, or if people were absconding or misbehaving.
But how did we punish those who needed to be punished?
But nothing that needed that thing. We had a lokhotla.
Is that it then?
Yeah, then we'd call, would there be the trial, the chief would be there.
But then if you were found guilty, what would happen to you?
Wabana, that far I didn't go.
You didn't go to the page.
But depending on the severity, because if something was hectic, you would obviously be ostracized from society. You know what I mean? But you didn't get shut down anyway, anything unnatural like that. You were just cut off from everyone. Because I find prisons very unnatural. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is, you know, I look at how many problems we have right now. Every time we have to talk about the things that are happening, especially in our corner of the world, you know, in the chocolate side of things. And I always find that when the church comes in, I can't help but roll my eyes and go, this thing seems to have brought us so much headache.
It's been more problematic than good.
Yeah, it's been more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes I even look at the way we've judged our president and looked down on his lifestyle choice in terms of the multiple wives. And I go, and I do once ask myself, Hore, if we were not a Christian country, which whether we deny it or not, we know we are. Because I don't see us having real public holidays for any other religion except Christians. You know, that if we were not that, would we still have been so hard on the guy for that? Because he has many other things that are just wrong with him. That is the one thing that's not wrong with him. That's just a lifestyle choice that we've all turned into this.
That actually
circus.
It's none of our business in the greater scheme of his ability to do work. Because goodness knows that some of you on weekends, you are part of swingers clubs and you do things that you like to do. And, you know, you find ways to justify you doing those things, and that's perfectly fine.
Like these people who...
And some of you are in open marriages, and that's perfectly fine.
Yes.
And, you know, like...
I'm trying to understand this thing. I mean, I look at... Back to Somizi a little bit, right? Because for me, how many of us have tuned into things because he's on them? How many people? What pull? Like the pull he's had in terms of over December, just watching him all over the place and people going simply because he said he's going to be there. You know what I mean? Yet those are the very same people who make these utterances that call into question who he is. You understand? And that only happens when you put the church into that context. That's why I don't understand, man. I just want to understand, like, can we maybe reimagine what place the church has in our lives right now? You know, it's almost like after apartheid ended and we went into this invisible apartheid that we live in. You can disagree with me all you want, but you know it's there. I've lost my train of thought now.
Or maybe, you know, maybe let's begin to question the church and the things and the messages that it,
yes,
it perpetuates.
Yes, because you have to find a new place, isn't it?
Because there's this fear almost, yes, with those who are extremely devout that even if you start to question the church, you are already committing a sin.
Mm.
But some things, in fact, a lot of the things within the church that the church spreads as a message deserve to be called to question. Mm,
and a lot of it has evolved.
A lot of them.
And a lot of this stuff has evolved. I mean, a great example, again, because I've married into a Catholic church, the changes I've seen that have suddenly got me going, baby, when am I taking the kids to church? Because I'm watching a church go, you know, let's look at where we are. We can't just live like we're this bubble that remains what it was 1,000 years ago. And things like single mothers being not only welcomed into the church, but supported.
Mm.
Divorcees being supported, you know, as opposed to being kicked out, because it is a traumatic thing to go through. Now imagine you're traumatized that you've had to go through a divorce. Now on top of that, your church has kicked you out because it says it doesn't allow divorce. You know what I mean?
Because they say that now you are no longer good enough.
Yeah.
Because your relationship didn't work.
But instead, I've even seen doors being opened to homosexual people too. I mean, this is a church which traditionally you're like, hey, you better be towing the line, otherwise you're out on your hat. And why? Well, the example I was trying to make with the apartheid thing was, then people are going, what's the place of black consciousness? Because apartheid is over. And then we had to reframe it because we realized now it wasn't about attacking anyone. It was about us as a race, as human beings, as us finding our identity and our pride again and rebuilding, understanding where black consciousness goes into rebuilding our society without us having to always have to explain and excuse for who we are and what we are. And I feel like churches need to also have that conversation among themselves. They need to go, this is where we are.
Mm.
This is what we need to be saying to our churches. And this is how it benefits them. Don't come and give me a sermon that Maria Magdalene was listening to, because me and Maria, we're not having the same issues right now.
But also, this is exactly...
I will say Jehovah, no one's going to stone me to death.
You are living in completely different times.
Exactly.
And
nobody's saying change the Bible. It's still the same damn Bible. But again, I will ask you. Are we still saying an eye for an eye? Or are you going to say, oh, Timmy, you can't compare the Old Testament to the New Testament? Okay.
I feel like people need to be less afraid of questioning these things.
Teach people because the love of God, not the fear of God.
I think this is where the defensive mechanism comes from, because, you know, there were a lot of people who attacked Somizi, and then they also got very defensive when other people started asking them these relevant questions. Mm. There needs to be this understanding and this agreement, Hori. If you question something, it doesn't automatically make you bad.
Mm.
What it does is it makes you curious.
You're not a blind follower.
And what it might also do, which is a good thing, is it could change bad practices.
Yes.
You know, once upon a time, women were not allowed to vote.
Dude.
It's a bad practice.
Dude.
So questions were raised. There was some force. There was resistance. And look now where we are.
And church, men and women had to sit on opposite sides
men
of the church.
Women,
they could not. Well, there's still churches. The churches still do that.
Yes.
But.
No, I think in the Orthodox Jewish religion, I might be wrong here.
Mm.
If I'm wrong and you've just took offense, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Look. You took us to church
today. No, we had to.
You took us to church, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
Do we want to hug any men today? I didn't really think about hugging a man.
Hey.
Because we were so fired up. But I don't know if we want to. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know, actually. I don't know. Is there a man you want to hug? I don't know. Should we hug any straight man who defended Somizi? And not just Somizi, actually. Not Somizi. But any straight man who is man enough to defend gay rights.
Yes, now that you mention it, I would also like to hug any straight man who doesn't automatically assume that all heterosexual women and all gay men want them.
Hey!
We don't.
Hey!
We don't.
Hey!
Can you calm yourself down?
Ooh-wee.
Can you get over your
horse
and stop assuming that everybody wants to hit on you? That is not the case.
Yeah. And now that we're done hugging men, I've said this once, I'm going to say it again. Bandwagons, guys, they get overloaded. Uzolimala.
Yeah.
Don't just jump on bandwagons. Know the situation. be informed, and then say something.
And with that, we'll see you next week Tuesday right here on cliffcentral.com. I'm Mabali Moloe.
I'm Timi Meraki.
And this has been Sipic Tea.
Yes, sir. Cliffcentral.com.